If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. I've not seen him since Triumph at the Mark Taper Forum on Sexy Liberal Panel. Twitter God, as we call him, congressional rock star, Representative Ted Lieu joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I always love talking to you, but what a great morning to talk to you after we've been talking about this disgusting smearing of David Hogg, who is one of the 17-year-old survivors of Parkland. You tweeted, "This conspiracy theory is insane. Our kids know David Hogg. My wife and I know his mom, who taught at our kids' elementary school before they moved to Florida. Although David is very articulate, he is not a crisis actor. He is a student who lost 17 of his classmates to bullets." Congressman, how do we have a reasonable debate with people like this that don't mind smearing survivors of school shootings with complete lies?
I think it's showing that what David Hogg and other Parkland survivors are doing is effective. People on the far right feel threatened by the message they're delivering, which is we need some common sense gun safety measures, and they're now resorting to attacking the messenger. And I think a better way of saying it is not that David Hogg is a crisis actor, which he absolutely is not, but that he is acting in a crisis. And we need more people to act in a crisis and to start taking advantage of, I think, an inflection point in American politics where you have people really saying, we don't want this to happen again and again and again.
But, you know, I love how these kids are just so speaking just pure, unvarnished truth. And, you know, as I said, kicking ass and taking names, like actual names, calling people out. As you tweeted, "I agree with Donald Trump. We need to pass common sense gun safety measures like universal background checks. Also, for historical accuracy, I note that it has always been Republicans who blocked Democratic bills to strengthen background checks." Thank you. This is when we keep having this, like, oh, both sides do it, and let's not make this a partisan. It is a partisan issue. Congressman, it is absolutely a partisan issue.
And you have to look no further than that to watch any video clip of Wayne LaPierre's speech today, the head of the NRA. He went full-throated partisan, also some conspiracy theories. It was quite an amazing, stunning speech, but it's very clear it is a single-issue, single-party organization, the NRA. And that's only going to be their downfall because that's not sustainable.
I don't know how you do it, Congressman, because you know you have to obviously have real debates on real issues that affect Americans. And I don't know what to say, Dana. I haven't even had time to look at what William LaPierre said, but Dana Loesch accused the media of actually loving mass shootings, I guess because of ratings. As you tweeted, "Dear Dana Loesch, the clenched fist of the American people is bigger than the clenched fist of the fist of the NRA." And isn't that exactly what this is proving? I've said this over and over. You look at, you know, all the polling numbers, Congressman, how many people want background checks? How many, we have got to see, what is it, 25% of us own all the guns, 75% of us don't own guns, and we've got to stop being governed by these fringe lunatics on the gun issue, right?
For a long time, the NRA has bullied their overwhelming majority of Americans. I think now you have the silent majority standing up saying, we're not going to take this anymore. And that's being led in part by these teenage students. I think what happened is the American public now saw for the first time survivors speak in pretty graphic detail of what they witnessed. There were some video clips of what happened during the actual shooting. And I actually thought after Newtown, when little kids were slaughtered and nothing happened, that nothing was ever going to happen on the gun safety measure unless we changed the makeup of Congress. But I think we're seeing something different now because you actually have articulate people who were at the mass shooting now talking about it, and I think that is changing hearts and minds.
Well, that's right, that are old enough to have taken this horrific cell phone video, that have lived through it, that are smart and articulate, and frankly, Representative, that are not taking no for an answer, are not, they don't have the cynicism of some of us adults about that, oh, nothing's going to change. And that is, I think, inspiring really a nation, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it reminds me of that age-old fable, the emperor has no clothes. It is children, right, that call him out, and I think you have these kids asking very simple, basic questions that are very hard for the NRA to answer. As we sit here today, for example, there is no minimum age to possess a rifle, but yet there's a minimum age to vote. to drive, to drink a beer. So a lot of it makes zero sense. And by the way, I think one of the things that would actually scare the NRA is we change the voting age to 16.
Yeah, yeah. And Congressman, you know, as we know, you're someone that has served in the military. I was talking about these ridiculous comments by Trump yesterday about, you know, how easy it would be to, for teachers to arm teachers and end this immediately. Here's someone who's a, you know, five-time draft dodger who's never picked up a weapon to defend his country, and he thinks this would be so easy for a teacher to, I mean, he literally made it sound like, oh, in just seconds, this would have all been over, right, if teachers had had guns.
That is one of those ridiculous narratives that have been proven false over and over again. At the Las Vegas shooting, there were a bunch of people there that had guns.
Yeah.
Didn't prevent that from happening. There have been numerous instances of mass shootings where there were people who had guns either around there at the time or nearby. And it's because mass shooters normally aren't stupid. They're not going to go up to someone who they think has a gun and do something. They're going to take the mass shooting from areas where they see weakness. And it's just so easy for them to start killing a lot of people before anybody with any gun has even a chance to get near them. So it's just one of these ridiculous narratives that has never really been shown to work.
I mean, they're obviously feeling political heat like they've never felt before. But as we were saying, it is very easily provable. When we had an assault weapons ban, it absolutely helped, right? And Dianne Feinstein has put this forward every year, right?
Yes. It resulted in a 37% reduction in deaths from assault weapons. And when we go back to session next week, there's going to be legislation in both the House and Senate to restore the assault weapons ban. You do actually see some movement now by the White House. So for the first time, you have the president actively saying we need to ban bump stocks and we need to have universal background checks. And I think that's a good thing. Let's see if the Republicans in Congress actually go along with that.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was so striking in this town hall that Marco Rubio was trying to, you know, defend the assault weapons, right, and talk about like, oh, well, do you know how many different guns that would ban? And I love the audience basically all just said, good.
Do it.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's just these talking points fall apart under pressure, don't they?
So, yeah, I mentioned I was in military, so that's correct. And I actually got two marksmanship ribbons, but before they even let me fire a gun, I had to learn about it. They made me take it apart. They made me clean it. They made me put it back together. So there's a lot of training that they give us before they let us go and fire a bullet. In America today, you can just go and buy an AR-15 and just start shooting it around, and that just makes no sense. And the AR-15 is essentially a weapon of war. There's no reason for that to be in society. And if you actually need an AR-15 to hunt, then you're just a really bad hunter.
Yeah. Congressman, you've been obviously so eloquent on Trump-Russia as well. And it is interesting how every story is connecting, right? We have the FBI investigating Russia funneling money through the NRA to help elect Trump. You tweeted of these new charges. You said, my view is that the new charges against Manafort and Gates are designed to increase pressure on Gates and lock him into a plea deal. That would be consistent with the timing of the action by Mueller to secure a guilty plea from Zwan, who lied about his interactions with Gates. And so now it looks like there's new charges, right, that are under seal against Manafort. Is that the latest?
Against both Manafort and Gates.
Yeah.
I'm a former prosecutor, and the way I view this is timing is always an issue. So why would Special Counsel Mueller at this point choose to put in new charges under seal against Manafort and Gates? And my best guess of that is he's trying to put additional pressure on Gates to go into a plea deal. The public reporting is that Gates intends to do that. My sense is they're probably trying to hammer out the details, and any additional pressure the Special Counsel can put on that helps the government. And that's my view of what is happening right now.
In this latest one, Mueller's team reportedly investigating whether Manafort promised a White House job to a banker in exchange for home loans. So that could be part of the new accusations that include bank fraud and bank fraud conspiracies. It seems to me Manafort's going to end up under the prison. Am I wrong? I mean, this is just insane, this whole, the more and more we learn, isn't it?
It is, although my first thought when I saw it is that, oh, it reminds me of Trump cabinet secretaries, because you see just this massive amount of corruption among a lot of Trump officials, whether it's spending taxpayer dime on, you know, taking first-class flights, or it's the president's family going to properties owned by the Trump organization, and then the entire entourage of Secret Service and other support personnel all paying taxpayer money to their business that enriches them personally. You have all of these things where they're really using the government for personal advantage. And the case of Manafort, if that allegation is true, that is a long prison term. Unless he flips and cooperates with Special Counsel Mueller.
Congressman, you ask almost every day on Twitter, today's a good day to ask, why does Jared Kushner have a security clearance? So obviously these latest stories about him clashing with John Kelly over his demand to see, you know, the presidential daily briefing, the most classified intelligence that we have, right?
Yeah.
This is just astounding to me, as you've talked about how many times he's had to amend his form because he left things off about foreign contacts. I don't even understand what's happening, right? John Kelly made it sound like, you know, oh, well, Jared gets a pass because he's Jared. I mean, what is happening here?
That's one reason we actually have anti-nepotism laws, because if Jared Kushner was anybody else, he would have been stripped of his security clearance a long time ago. But because there is a familial connection to the president, somehow everyone around him in the White House feels like they can't touch him. John Kelly, to his credit, I think, is trying to challenge that. If you just look at the facts, Jared Kushner lied multiple times on his initial SF-86 form, the security clearance form. He then had to amend it, and then he lied again because he omitted additional disclosure. So it took him three times, and that's just the SF-86 form, which, by the way, I had to fill out before I even ran for Congress. I had a security clearance. You can't go through that form and not understand the government cares a lot about your foreign contacts.
Yeah.
For him to have omitted every one of his Russian contacts was not an oversight. It was deliberately trying to mislead the government.
Not to mention he's likely in Mueller's crosshairs, you know, for God knows.
Yes.
I
believe that. And he has all these connections to troubled properties. So I wrote a letter along with over a dozen members of Congress over 2 months ago. We asked him a very simple question, which is, have you talked to any foreign nationals basically to help bail you out on your troubled property at 666 Fifth Avenue? And to this day, he refuses to answer that simple yes-no question. And now we see some public reporting that Mueller is interested in exactly that issue.
Yeah.
Is he trying to use his position in the White House to help what is really a personal matter, which is a very bad loan and a very bad business decision that Kushner Companies made on this property?
Yep. Congressman, finally, before you go, Nicholas Burns, veteran U.S. diplomat, ripped Trump over claims that he's tougher on Russia than Obama is. He said Obama expelled 35 Russian diplomats, closed two Russian compounds in the U.S., sanctioned Moscow, alerted us to its conspiracy against our election. You haven't even implemented sanctions Congress voted, and you've never criticized Putin. You haven't defended us, which I would think is grounds for removal itself. But you tweeted, question, how come Donald Trump hasn't implemented the bipartisan congressional sanctions law on Russia yet? Why hasn't POTUS asked the FBI and the Justice Department to prevent Russia from interfering in future elections? This is really astounding and kind of his main duty, isn't it, to protect the United States?
Absolutely. My view is it's a dereliction of duty for the president to still not direct his agencies to prevent another attack by Russia on our elections. And the fact that he still has not implemented these bipartisan sanctions, which have been on his vest now for over 6 months. It's very telling that when White House reporters asked Sarah Huckabee Sanders at the White House briefing what things that the president do to be tough on Russia, she couldn't actually name a single thing.
Yeah. That's that's kind of par for the course. Congressman, please keep doing all the work you're doing. Everybody is just so behind you, and we're so proud of you as our homeboy out here from California. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you for continuing to speak truth to power.
Thank you, Congressman. Talk to you soon. There he goes, Twitter god.
Love that man.
Congressional rock star.
Amazing.
Ted Lieu.
All right. He also has a great sense of humor.
He does.
One of my favorite things about him.